Good morning again, and welcome to worship here with us this morning. I have two announcements for you. Next Sunday is the last Sunday to bring your healthy snacks for Project Transformation. So if you could bring those, that would be wonderful. And the second announcement is that tomorrow is Memorial Day, and the church offices will be closed. There will be no activities, and we will celebrate this holiday. Take a deep breath with me. Inhale. Exhale. It's amazing that something so simple is what sustains our lives. Today, as we focus on this breath of life, may it fill you and make you fully alive.
Grace be with you. gather to worship our ever-present and living God.
We can gather to see God's communing spirit in our dry and dusty lives.
God's renewing spirit is alive and present.
Spirit of our living God, breathe into us the breath of life.
I invite us to humble ourselves before God and each other and recognize our need to name our brokenness and confess our desire for wholeness by praying our prayer of confession. Loving God, pour out your renewing spirit into our lives. We are unsettled and long for fulfillment and a sense of peace. Immersed in a culture that celebrates noise, we forget to quiet our hearts to hear your voice. Engaged in an economy that requires constant activity, we forget to make time for you. System pits us against those with opposing perspectives. We fail to invest energy to connect and understand others. In the business of life, we conform to the culture. We become isolated and ignore your clear instructions to love God and love neighbor. Rain upon our dry and dusty lives. Come into our lives, Holy Spirit. Wash us in your healing love. Soothe our wounded spirits so we can grow toward the wholeness you intended. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear these words of promise from the prophet Ezekiel. I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. You will be my people, and I will be your God.
Thank you.
One of the greatest joys of the congregation of this church is the baptism of children. This morning, Benjamin Morse and Jen Morse bring their son, Carter Sasong Morse, to God before this community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated in God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I have a few questions. Jennifer and Benjamin, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child into Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news
and live according to the example of Christ. We will serve this child with love, unity of love, and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the ways that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness, that in throughout his life, that in dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Thank you. What name is given this child?
Carter Salsung.
Carter Salsung. Carter, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you'll pray with me. Carter Salsung, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you be being born through water and the Spirit may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face young Carter? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Carter Sasong to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, our Son. Thank you.
Let us pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many laying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
there any more youngsters who want to come forward and join us, you're welcome. Good morning. So whenever I talk to the big kids, the adults, about the sermon from this morning, the scripture, they would all sing to me. Maybe they'd sing songs about bones or breath or wind. But there was always a song they had to sing. So this morning I'd like to sing you with you a song that I sang when I was about your age, a little younger than you. But it goes like this. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Do you know this song? Would you be willing to stand up and sing it with me? Okay, you can sit down where you are and do the motions, though, okay? Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Eyes and ears and mouth and nose. Head and shoulders, knees and toes, knees and toes. Good job. Great job. So, yay! So whenever I would sing this song when I was your age, I used to sing it faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until I was out of breath. I couldn't even catch my breath because I was going up and down and singing. This morning, the scripture passage is about breath. And sometimes we get out of breath when we're running. But the scripture connects breath with how much God loves us, the Spirit of God and the love. So next time you're out of breath, I want you to remember how much God loves you. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this morning, for this opportunity to be together. Thank you for your breath of life that breathes in us, and thank you for all of the ways that we sometimes get out of breath. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down and singing. Almost made you guys join me. The year was around 590 to 570 BC. And Ezekiel is exiled with the rest of Judah and the Israelites. They're in Babylon, where King Nebuchadnezzar is in charge. And the scripture says they're hopeless. But the hand of God comes upon Ezekiel. And any of you who have read Ezekiel knows that when the hand of God comes, things get a little weird. And so Ezekiel is transported to a valley filled with dry bones. It says these bones are very dry. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel replies, oh God, you know. This is where I wish scripture had parentheses, where it explained the subtext or maybe the inflection in which he says, you know, because I'm not sure if Ezekiel is saying, oh God, you know these bones are dead and will never live. Or is he saying, oh God, you know that you're God and anything can happen. So God asked Ezekiel, give a prophecy to these bones that they will live, that my breath will enter them and they will live. Ezekiel has a decision to make. Does he look at the death and despair around him, or does he obey God and live into the promise of life? Ezekiel chooses to prophesy to the bones. And all of a sudden, the earth starts shaking and the bones start rattling and they come together and the flesh comes across them, sinews, skin. And then there are a bunch of bodies laying around, lifeless around him. And God says, prophesy to the bodies that the breath of life may enter them and they will live. Ezekiel has another choice here. Does he say to God, I did that once, and it kind of worked, but it didn't really work, and really, like, if I do it again, will it actually work? I'm not sure. Does he look at these bodies lifeless and say, oh, they're so docile, they'll be much easier to deal with like this? Or does he believe that God's promise is real and give the prophecy? Ezekiel decides to summon the winds from the four corners of the earth. This is an ancient Israelite concept of the breath of God, that it hovers across the entire universe, bringing life, sustaining creation. Where the breath is absent, this is where there is death. And so he calls this ruach, a word that means spirit, wind, breath. And the bodies are enlivened and they stand up in a multitude, it says, a host, a great number. For those of you who are following the liturgical calendar, you know that today is a special feast day. It is the feast of Pentecost. And you're probably wondering why I'm not preaching on the scripture where the flames and tongues are on the heads of the people and chaos breaks loose and some people think the disciples are drunk and the Holy Spirit enters the church. This scripture is very related to that one. And yet, we have the opportunity here to learn from these dry bones. I have a confession to make. A few weeks ago, Michael mentioned that we were auditing a class at Vanderbilt Divinity School on the works of Flannery O'Connor. She is a brilliant writer, poignant. And yet my confession is, I don't really like reading her stories. They're filled with death, despair. She talks about the valleys of dry bones of sexism and racism and bigotry. And at the very end of the stories, there's these glimpses of hope. Maybe they'll reconcile. Maybe they'll bring back to life, but it's not so sure. But Flannery O'Connor taught me more about what it means to hope. Hope is not that the ending turns out the way that I want it to. And hope isn't that nothing bad ever happens. Hope is that God is with us. And remembering that God is remembering our bones and our lives. This past Tuesday night, I was able to witness an interview between Krista Tibbett from On Being and the banjo player Bela Fleck and his wife, Abigail Washburn, who also plays the banjo. In it, they were talking about Bela Fleck's documentary about the diaspora of the banjo from Africa to the United States, to the Americas. And in it, he talks about the fact that the banjo didn't haphazardly come over here just with random musicians, but that slave owners and ship captains were intentional about allowing musicians to play as they journeyed across. The music gave a better statistic that their cargo would survive. Music has a way of carrying us through the suffering. Music allows us to connect with the deep that is within us and hear that inner voice of hope. I mentioned the word ruach. It's found 10 times in this scripture, almost 400 in the Hebrew scriptures. It's deeply connected to the word that they use in the creation story, Genesis 2:7, where God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. And he becomes alive. This image of God, this breath of life, the imago Dei that's put inside of him, differentiates him from the rest of creation and the animals. This breath of life is inside of us. And when we listen to it, it will tell us where to go and who we are, or maybe whose we are. Around the early 2000s, this church went through a process of ruach and renewal. I'm sure some of you remember it. And during this time, you created spaces for yourself to listen to the ruach so that we would know who we are and what we're doing. The bedrock beliefs came out of this process, the first of which, God loves everyone unconditionally. And the vision that still enlivens this congregation, to be the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming. This church is alive. I see it in the baptisms. I see it in the music. I see it in the ways that you serve not only one another, but this community and places around the world. And yet there are parts of ourselves, parts of our lives that still might be dry. Or maybe they've been put back together, but not yet fully alive. Where does God want to breathe the breath of life in you? This morning, as I was thinking about what to teach the children about this sermon, I knew that I wanted to sing with them because it's what gives me life. But also, I knew I had much more to learn from them about living fully alive than I could ever teach them. Children know what it's like to chase the breath of God across the earth. And they know what it looks like to live fully alive because they maybe haven't experienced as many dry bones or valleys. I knew that you'd be missing Michael this morning, so I decided that I would bring you a poem. This poem talks about the valleys that we enter and ways that we might live into hope. It's called The Lesson, and it's by Mark Nepo. When young, it was the first fall from love. It broke me open the way lightning splits a tree. Then, years later, cancer broke me further. This time, it broke me wider than the way a flood carves the banks of a narrow stream. Then, having to leave a 20-year marriage, this broke me the way wind shatters glass. Then, in Africa, it was the anonymous face of a schoolboy beginning his life. This broke me yet again. But this was like hot water melting soap. Each time I tried to close what had been opened, it was a reflex, natural enough. But the lesson was, of course, the other way, in never closing again. This poem is about the disconnectedness, the shattered, the dry. We have the opportunity to remain open to the breath of God who will make us fully alive. If you will stand with me and recite together the United Church of Canada, page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh,
to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. If you are a guest among us, everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and a special baked treat for you. I invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for staff or lay leadership. If you desire a staff member to contact you about your comment, please check the box on the card and note your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. You are invited to take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Today we offer our sympathy to the family of Elsie Mae Frazier, who died Saturday, May 16th. Private services were held this weekend in Perry County. We also extend our sympathy to the family of Judson Randolph Sr., who died Sunday, May 17th. The services are still pending, but will be held at West End later this summer. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Friends in Christ, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer our thanksgivings and our petitions on behalf of the church and the world. Because your mercy is great, O God, we pray for the people of God in every land, for those who continually teach the faith, for witnesses who by their example show your steadfast love, for all those estranged from the church, and for the strength to walk in your ways and observe your commands. Your care, gracious God, extends to nations, communities, and families torn by violence. We offer our prayers for leaders and protesters, for visionaries, dictators, and peacemakers. You call us, Creator God, to care for the earth and all its riches, for soil and wetlands, trees, bushes, rivers and lakes, oceans and air. Help us to remember to honor all the peoples who inhabit this great creation and grant us the ability to choose life for all creatures. Your compassion knows no bounds. Wherever there is injustice, unemployment, underemployment, homelessness, people struggling with addiction, anger, fear, or illness, show your merciful face. O God, you are our shelter and refuge, and we pray for this community of faith, for those who worship here every week and those who cannot come. Grant your mercy to the young and the old, for newcomers and long familiar faces, for the newly baptized in every land and those seeking to know you. Hear our prayers, God of power, and through the ministry of your Son, may we proclaim your saving deeds to the entire world. And now, let us pray the prayer Jesus taught all of us to pray with one voice, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having received new life through the generosity of God and the hope Christ brings, let us give thankfully and abundantly with God's tithes and our offerings, that we may be called God's generous people.
I would like to invite the congregation to be seated as those being presented for membership this morning make their way to the front. We have a great group. We consist of three men named Scott, two engaged couples, a doctor, and Alice. Let's begin with engaged couple, Scott and Shannon, Scott Olivo and Shannon Teets. They are, Shannon, you can turn around and see the congregation. I don't blame you. Scott comes to us from the Roman Catholic tradition, and Shannon comes to us from the United Methodist Church. They are, I guess Shannon's with TDOT in Human Resources, and Scott is in a similar role with Aramark, so they're going to be great additions to West End. Thank you. Next, the other engaged couple is down at this end. We have Beth Power and Scott Coop. Beth's coming from her home United Methodist Church. She's already United Methodist. And Scott is coming from another denomination. He is an executive MBA student just finishing up over at Owen, and he works for Kimbrough Oil. Next is Alice. Alice Sanford is from First United Methodist Church in Pulaski. And she has already been very active in the life of West End. She's been around for quite a while, and she's in the Christians Under Construction Sunday School class. And her three-year-old grandson, Andres, also goes to Sunday School here. Next is Joy Carroll. Joy is coming to us today from the Lutheran tradition, and she has been very active in the New Room Sunday School class for young adults. She's a resident physician over at Vanderbilt Medical Center. And she hails, I guess, from this great state of Iowa. That's correct. She went to both Iowa State and the University of Iowa. Not very many people can say that, I bet. Kind of like going to Auburn, Alabama down here. Let's begin by asking those coming from other denominations this one question. This will be for all three Scotts and Joy and Ashley. The question is, as members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. Great. Now, everyone here is a United Methodist, so we ask one more question. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in his ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? If you will, say, I will. Great. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members? Brothers and sisters in Christ, do all in your power to welcome these people. Increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has started to do, and welcome you in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts,
and before we finish, I also want to introduce Scott and Ashley Lamar, who have already joined the church, so I can introduce them after the fact. Scott is an attorney and a rabid car buff, evidently, based on Facebook, and he focuses in healthcare law. And Ashley is at Vanderbilt University in the Development and Alumni Affairs office. And both obviously came from other traditions. So we welcome you. Let me close this up with a blessing. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be faithful disciples all of our lives. Everyone, of course, is welcome to meet them and welcome them out in Reed Hall following the service.
And so may the God who is always breathing work within you, sustaining, redeeming, creating, to make us live fully alive.